Okay, we've been on lockdown for the past 2-3 months. You've seen every episode of everything you can look at. We just watched the movie the other night because why? It was free. Anyway, that was our criteria for movie watching, all right? Hi, Ben. Hey, Ben, you could do this too. Anyway, let me say this again. None of the children welcome in the homes are welcome here, and Ben, you're welcome to do all you like, okay? I kind of find that fun. All right, back to the story where we're at. The point of the matter is, God has used this time, lest you think that God was asleep during the couple of months that we were locked up, lest you think that God was inattentive, or God wasn't listening, or God wasn't filling the blank after that. I hope you don't feel that way, because we still serve an active God who had a plan and a purpose in this. We'd like to say that certain groups of people out there wouldn't waste the opportunity to do something to the American culture like a virus in the economy. I've heard all these stories. And I'm like, I didn't think about that. What I think about is this. God doesn't waste an opportunity to affect people for Him. I hear of people coming to Christ through the lockdown. How can that be happening? Because God is still at work for His purposes. And I hope that you have experienced some of those purposes during these past couple months we've been locked up. In fact, the major thing I'd like to do now is just take a few moments. You got your hand up so I can call on you. But I don't say, if I don't know your name, I'll say, hey, you. But I'd like you to stand and maybe just face the group and share with us, what has God taught you during this time of lockup? What one lesson could you share in 30 seconds or a minute? You say, you know what, Mike, I didn't like being locked up. I still don't really like being locked up, but I got taught this. God showed me this. And that would be encouraging for the rest of us to hear. So if somebody just flop your hand up like that, I'll call on you. And if you would, stand and talk loud to the group so we can all hear you. What has God taught you, maybe? Phil, would you stand and turn toward the group and maybe move your mask a little bit?
I was reading in Matthew during this lockdown. And Jesus was asked, what is the great commandment of the law? And he said, love God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul. And the second of these is to love your neighbor as yourself. And I got to thinking about what that meant, who my neighbor really was. Was it the guy that lived next door to me? On either side, was it the neighbor across the street, the person across the street, down the block? And the more I thought about it, the more I realized that my neighbor is every single human being in the world. And I never thought about that before. And especially because of what's going on now. Not only with the virus, but with the political division and the racism and all the things that are happening, you have to understand the position of those people that are doing that kind of thing, and you need to love them despite the fact that their opinion is different than yours. It just brought home to me that we need to just love. And Jesus even said, if you do the first two, all the others get taken care of.
Thank you, Phil. Appreciate that very much. Somebody else want to share? What were you challenged with during the lockdown? You just give us the topic, if you'd like. What were you challenged with during the lockdown time? Anybody? Hand up. Thank you, Jim. Stand and give it loud.
Glenn had men send him comments on scripture. He sent them out by email. And I was really challenged by those, and I was just amazed at the depth of insight from folks here. And I thought, how come we were in church all the time and took a lockdown before we understood and heard people's own personal experience? And for me, I think that sort of shows what might be possible in more of a house church model. And Beth gave you a summary of the women, so I don't know who she was talking about, but it sounded like the same kind of spiritual depth. So I was just really challenged by that, and the passion and the insight. And personally, I'm a guy who likes to get things done. You just don't get anything done in lockdown. And so I was telling somebody, I think God's trying to teach me patience. And I said, if I think he's trying to teach me, it must mean I'm not very patient. And so I don't know if I'm still patient, but I've certainly slowed down a lot more and don't get nearly as irritated as I did before when things don't happen. Because otherwise, I'd just be upset all the time. So.
Very good. Thanks for being transparent. I appreciate that. Somebody else? Quick hand. Florence. Yeah, you can sit. Be good and loud. Okay.
He really taught me to trust in him like a lot more than I was. And I think he let me have the stroke because it gave me my daughter and my grandson back.
Oh,
so I trust in him and he answered some of the things
That is fantastic. For those of you who don't know, what day is the stroke? Wednesday, Thursday? This past Wednesday, Florence had a stroke.
On the beach.
And was in the hospital until yesterday. Got out yesterday. So let's just comfort Florence. That was great words. Really good words, Florence. Okay, anybody else want to share? What has God shown you during the lockdown? What has he taught you? What has he challenged you with? If you had any guts, would you stand up and say this? He taught me this, but I haven't learned it yet. I'm still working on it. That'd be something I could share at any given time. Hand up. Anybody want to share? Jerry.
It hit me the other day. I saw a commercial I'd never seen before. It's a Bank of America. And they're talking about how our confidence is shaken. And our faith has been cracked. And it's just really kind of depressing the way it began. And it does brighten up a little bit as it goes, but it dawned on me that should never happen to a child of God. Never, ever, ever should our confidence be shaken. And so it was a reminder for me that as we go through these times where, you know, we like to think that we know what's going to happen. We like to think that we're in control of our lives. We have absolutely no control whatsoever. We are moment by moment, second by second, as Forrest found out at the beach, we are in God's hands. Anything can happen at any time, and we need to learn to trust Him no matter what happens.
Amen. Thank you,
Jerry. Whether we like it or not.
Very well done. Appreciate that. Anybody else want to share? Put a hand up, and I'll recognize you, Mr. Fran.
That's my name, song. Following the guidance of the Holy Spirit, especially doing things that I'm really uncomfortable doing.
Wow. Fran is helping me lead on Monday nights, so you can catch more of his wisdom at our group starting tomorrow night at 6:45. I'm just having fun with you. You did a good job. I love that you had the courage to do it like that. Thank you. Okay, anybody else want to share? Put a hand up and I'll call you and we can hear from you. Okay. Thank you. Let's roll this to what I think is a phenomenal thing that we're going to do together. I was going to tell you that many years ago, I was given a picture. I was given a picture plaque, basically, where a father is walking on a golf course, holding his son's hand, walking up a fairway at sunset. And I thought to myself, I could tell you all about this picture. But then I thought, I could bring it. And then you could see what I've got hanging up in one of my rooms, and you don't know why I've got it hanging up there yet, but in a minute you're going to. Let me show you this. I wrapped it. Hey, come on. Let me show you this picture. Okay, look at this carefully. Everybody says I should walk it around the front. Can everybody see this? Okay? Everybody see this picture? This was given to me a number of years ago. Let me walk it around just for a second. Look at it carefully. You're going to need to know this for the test. Look at it carefully. Okay? Got it? It's well framed. Somebody thought it out well. Gave it to me. A lot of stuff like this I get, I pitch. But not this one. This one got put in a place of prominence in a room. In fact, after they bury me, you might want to come to my house and get it for yourself. Because this is just that nice. Has everybody got the image in their mind yet? Do you see the dad with the boy walking on the fairway at sunset? I know, somebody's going to say sunrise. It really does not matter, okay? So, when you see this picture, Okay? As you look at it, what would be the comment? What would be the comment you would make about this picture? Put your hand up. I'll let you talk. What would be the comment that you could make about this picture? Anybody want to get in on that? Real quick, Ed.
The bonding between the father and the son.
The bonding between the father and the son. Father's Day memory. I like that. Anybody else want to go further? This is dynamic. This is very important to me in my life. And I wonder why you haven't hit it yet. Glenn?
Just a reminder that God walks hand in hand with us.
A reminder that God walks hand in hand with us.
The Father teaching the Son.
The Father teaching the Son. You got to admit, there's a lot of imagery in here. There's a lot to be explored. Have we hit it all yet?
No. The Son is interested in the same thing the Father is.
Okay, the Son and the Father are walking together, doing the same thing together. In this case, golf, but it could be whatever. Dorothy?
It's not just teaching by saying, it's teaching by showing.
Oh, I like that. It's not just teaching by saying, but it's teaching by showing. Dads, moms, that's what we're here for. Anybody else got anything else here before I take this down? Good. Beth?
In this picture, it doesn't look like they're in any big hurry.
Yeah, it doesn't, does it? Now, you want to know why this is important to me? You want to know why? I am the only one that knows why this is important to me. Well, I think me and my wife, we talk about everything. But you know why it's important to me?
It's Sunday.
Because that's exactly right. Years ago, my oldest son gave me this. And he made a comment, and I wrote it down. And he doesn't even know I'm doing this. He doesn't even know I keep this in a prized place. But he said this, Dad, this is exactly what we used to do together all the time when I was growing up. And I wanted you to have this picture. It could have been a picture of us. Wow. Would you hold on to that picture?
Yeah.
I would. Me, who came from a family with no dad, with no mom, with no nobody for most of the time, determined that when I got married and had kids, things were going to be incredibly different. And lo and behold, I worked on it. We're looking at old pictures now or some stuff. Dee's trying to edit photos, which is a constant chore. And as we're doing that and looking at stuff, I'm seeing the pictures of what we did with the kids. And the other boy after this, well, my goodness, when we played golf, he hit me around the 10th or 11th hole. Dad, can we go get a corned beef? So I guess what he needs to give me is a picture of corned beef, and I'll put that on the wall. But you get the idea. The point is that it made such a big impression on him. He said he saw this in the store and that Dad had to have that. And he gave it to me for Father's Day many, many years ago. You know, we at Candlewood are going into a very interesting time. You have to admit. In fact, I don't think anything of what's coming up for this church is boring at all. And much of our upcoming events together, either in the houses or in this house, we think we know what's going to go on. But I've made this comment to our leadership. I guarantee you that 1 year from now, we're not going to look the same as we look right now. We're not going to taste the same way. We're not going to smell the same way as we continue to launch house churches. Truth of the matter is, how do we figure all this out? I feel kind of like at times we might be in the fairway walking by ourselves. And in fact, I've called experts around the country who are trying to do this, including some who have folded and heard the reasons why, and have routinely for the past 6 months been talking about those things with leadership. You know the reason why we're meeting every other week for this kind of gathering? You know the reason we're meeting every other week for the house groups? Because the churches that have had the house groups every single week and have had the church service every single week have burnt their leaders out. And some of the people I talked to were key leaders of these things who've all walked away from the movement because they just couldn't stand the strain on them. Do you know why we're putting an intentional fellowship week in there? So that we can do the work of the ministry with each other. The actual bonding of relationships, one on top of another, making this thing happen. You get it? That's the genius behind this thing that the Lord has led us to. And you know, when I perused the Psalms, which by the way, which is what I've been studying the past couple of months, I noticed that there's several different expressions used to illustrate our relationship with Him. Listen, if you've been feeling out of sorts, start right here with your study. You see, in the Psalms, it says that we, I like this, by the way. When I hear this, I kind of think of the first time my wife said she loved me on our first date in the first 10 minutes. That's how I'm remembering it, okay? It was quick. In fact, when I drove up to her house, there was a sign with it that says, Mike, I love you. I'm like, okay, that's cool. We're good. But listen to this. It says that we are upon his heart. The Psalms also say this about our relationship, that we are in his hands. I don't exactly understand all that, but I like it. It says this, that we're under his eye, under his watchful eye in the Hebrew. You also know this one, that we're under his wings of protection, whatever that means. But I like that too. But then there's one verse in Psalm 73 that you need to get today. In Psalm 73, verse 23, the psalmist, who is not David at this time, it's Asaph, says this, I am continually with you. I understand that. And then the psalmist says this, you hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward, when it's all said and done, you will receive me to glory. And I wanted to just share with you today this. I don't know where you've been during the lockdown, but the scripture tells me that he's got me by my right hand. All through the Old Testament, the right hand portrayed is a hand of strength. The right hand portrayed is the one that you put out for help. Basically saying this, that I'm right there with you. I've got you by your strong hand. I'm holding you. I'm keeping you from slipping, from falling. And you know what? When you start to go down, I will bear you up. You've got me because you hold my right hand. It's the God of the universe we're talking about. The God of the universe has me by the right hand. My Father, the Creator, holds me by this hand throughout my entire life, whatever takes place. And then as you read in verse 24, and after it's all over, you receive me to glory, to be with you forever, the whole way. This is the reason why the leadership team and many of you are excited about what God has brought Candlewood to. We're not being left alone in the fairway. We are walking in tandem, hand in hand, holding on to the Lord's hand as he takes us through where he needs us to be going forward. That's exactly where you're at right now. And that's what I'd exactly like to pray for right now. I'm going to ask you to bow your head right now. Would you do that, please? And as you bow your head, listen carefully. I really believe that the Lord's word is true. I hope that you believe the same thing. I really believe that the Lord does have us on his heart, in his hands, under his eye, and under his wings of protection and care. But also I love this picture, that he's got us by the hand to steady us throughout this whole process. And with that said, and with that as a basis, would you right now in your heart of hearts, would you talk with him and tell him that you are committing yourself to this process? For your own individual life and for the life of Candlewood Church. Would you pray right now in your heart of hearts? And then I'll close us. And now, Father, you know our hearts. Boy, as you read the scripture, we definitely know yours. Father, thank you for the graphic reminder that you're holding us by the hand. Father, even as we listen to this child right now, we thank you that you hold us by the hand like that child. We don't know what's ahead. We don't know how it's going to go. But we trust you as you walk us through it. And because of that fact, we commit ourselves to you in this process to use us and spend us as you see fit. Our Father, we ask that you would just undergird Candlewood now in a very special way and use us as a people to show Jesus Christ to others and develop Jesus Christ in others. For it is in your name that we pray. Amen. God's people said, Amen.